Hello, everybody. Welcome to the SuperOffice podcast. My name is Hans Christian Grunslet. I work in SuperOffice, of course, and I'm your host. The topic of today is ChatGPT, OpenAI, artificial intelligence, what it is, and how you can adopt it into your business. We're going to discuss different angles to this, some risks and some opportunities. And in the studio with me today, I have a very special guest, and his name is Salvador Baye. He's Spanish, but lives in Norway, works in Norway with innovation and technology leadership. So let's listen to what he has to say. So here we are. Welcome, everybody, to a new episode of the SuperOffice podcast. Today, I'm actually sitting in a physical studio, and I must tell you, we've had some technical problems here, but we are learning all the time. And together with me, I'm happy to have Salvador Baye. He is an advisor in innovation and technological leadership.
You can say that. You can say technology management too.
Technology management. I knew it. You know, I can't see my own notes here.
But welcome to the club.
Welcome, Salvador. Welcome. Good
Thank
to have you
very
here.
Much. Yeah. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure when you called me. And no, it was on LinkedIn.
That's right.
And you got in touch. And of course, I had to say, yes, we have been in touch through LinkedIn for a while. And finally, we are here physically having a chat.
That's good. And, you know, talking about chat, everybody's talking about chat. And not only one chat, but ChatGPT.
GPT.
Yeah. And that's the topic for today. And, you know, we're not alone in this space talking about this. But I'm looking forward to having this conversation with you.
Thank you.
But before we start, you know, who's Salvador? Tell us a little bit about you.
Salvador is... an immigrant. I'm originally from Spain, and my background is I am an engineer, mechanical, of all things. Huh. And if you get the tram in Dresden, the bogey where the motor is sitting. I designed it when I was 26 years old.
Ah.
So it's nice. So, but the point is that I came to Norway in the year 2000. And since then, I've been working either as an employee or as a consultant. And within the realm of innovation, commercialization of new products and services, I've been key account manager for several markets, and most of the time it has been a strategy. I mean, most of the time product development, most of the time very focused on designing and producing services and products that you can sell with a profit.
That sounds good, and you know that's where I've. Heard you, because I've heard you in different settings where you analyze technology trends and stuff like that. And you know, ChatGPT is possibly the biggest technology trend going on right now.
Yes.
So that's the topic. So let's start out, you know, what is actually ChatGPT?
Okay. For those that haven't used some time on that, the point is that in order to explain ChatGPT in a very easy way, maybe I can go back to one personal experience from some years ago, because I think that's a very nice way of explaining how the model works, or an interaction at least. And the point is that when I came to Norway, I didn't know very much Norwegian, and I was asked to attend a job interview. Of course, I went there. But I insisted in not having the interview in English. I wanted it to have it in Norwegian. Pure kamikaze style, but I just wanted to get ahead of the others. Hmm. So I didn't know much Norwegian, but what I did is that I learned about a bunch of possible questions they could ask me. Mm-hmm. And then what I did is, in my mind, to match some key words that would prompt in myself what kind of answer I should give.
Ah, okay.
So what happened is that because I didn't know so much Norwegian, and I didn't understand so much. So I was sitting there, I was having that interview, and then every time I heard some kind of key word, I just came with my answer. So to this day today, I still don't know if my answers were right or not, but the point is that I got the job. And why I tell you this is that it's a little bit the same way ChatGPT works, very simplified. It's just like you have ChatGPT has been trained in the internet and gathering humongous amounts of data and of words and of contexts. And what ChatGPT does is, when you prompt something, when you ask something, ChatGPT looks at what you have been asking, and then tries to match what you have asked with the first word that has the maximum probability of matching or completing what you are asking, and then the next one, based on the first word that came from ChatGPT and what you asked, and then the next one, and then the next one, it's like a enormous chart with probabilities and which word that should come afterwards. Mm. So based on that, you end up creating long sentences and paragraphs and things that make sense, because they are based on probabilities of what you and me and other humans have been talking about in the internet.
Yeah.
And ChatGPT doesn't do that only with words, but also with sentences and paragraphs. So it's a very clever model. It doesn't mean, though, that the machine is thinking.
No.
Not at all. Not at all.
No, I've been trying it myself, and I have this same experience, because, you know, you can put in a short word or something, not getting any sense out of it. But it's all about how you prompt it. We're coming back to that.
Yeah.
And they talk about prompt engineering and stuff like that. But,
yes.
But, you know, the G and the P and the T, when I hear people talk about it, they mix the letters, GTP or whatever. But what does it actually stand for?
It's a generative pre-trained transformer.
Yes.
And what it means is that not only the machine learns by itself, as I have described, but also that the machine has been pre-trained by humans too. Mm. So as part of the process, you have had humans simulating that they are the ChatGPT.
Yeah.
So it was humans against humans. Mm. And then the ChatGPT was listening. And with that, these new inputs, what OpenAI achieved is to create a model that has got some more sense in it, and at the same time some ethical rules. So when people are very concerned about the ethics and so on, I'm not saying that it's been taken care of, but it's been thought about.
I also heard Snapchat, they have a personal assistant.
Yes.
And the first version of that didn't have these ethical rules in it, so you could do a lot of stuff. And then all of a sudden they added ethical rules to it.
Yes.
And now people say that now it's become so political correct that you cannot really go outside the boundaries at all. So.
Exactly. And that's one of the... By the way, it's been a sport among youngsters to try to break ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Asking things that ChatGPT shouldn't answer.
Yeah.
But what I think is that concerning to ethicals, I'm sure that we are going back to that, but the point is concerning what you said is that, okay, where should we put the stop on the ethical fine-tuning of the model?
Mm.
Because at the end of the day, it's, as I said, it's humans against playing robots and the opposite.
Yeah.
And who is going to provide us with the rules? Is it the internet giants that at the end of the day will have control and the responsibility on this? Or do you prefer that will be some kind of state agency somewhere for the greater good?
Mm. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. It's a very complicated question.
Yeah, it is. I think we might touch it at the end, but I think that some of these people I heard, you know, Nikolai Tangen in his podcast, he talked about the CEO in NVIDIA.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're creating the infrastructure and the machines and stuff that do all these things with ChatGPT or AI technology. And he said that, you know, we need regulations. And because we're regulating GDPR, we're regulating medicine, we're regulating a lot of stuff. So we should also regulate that. That was his sort of, you cannot leave that to the companies themselves, right?
Okay, should we go into that?
No, let's
because
do that later.
I have quite strong meanings about that.
Okay, great. Okay, but anyway, now everybody's talking about this, right? It's been AI been for 20, 30 years, right? And you talk to companies, you know, now people are sort of, you mentioned before we went into the studio, people are sort of in a panic mode. I mean, what has changed now for companies, you know, now they're talking about it?
Yeah, I think it would be nice with a parallelism. You remember when the computers were mainframes? And there are very specialized people that could touch the machines. Mm. And you had some dedicated terminals. And everything was very mysterious and complicated and very, very expensive. And only the big banks and the oil companies could have this kind of machines. And suddenly, what happened? Yeah, suddenly we had the PC. The PC came. And it changed the whole game. Suddenly you could afford to have reasonable power of computing, transforming your life on your desktop. Mm. And then of course the smartphone. Mm. I think that we are, when it comes to AI, this is exactly the defining moment.
Mm.
When we go from mysterious machines somewhere, and data scientists that are very well trained, that are very specialized on that, over to a tool that everyone can use, that can be, through APIs, can be integrated almost wherever.
Mm-hmm.
You have this next version of ChatGPT, which is called AutoGPT, that is based on instructions, so that the machine or the model follows your instructions and go and fetch that data and combines with other data and put it together in an Excel arc or Excel sheet or whatever. I mean, this is the defining moment where AI will be available for everyone that wants to have it.
Mm.
And here I want to stress wants to have it, because one of the responsibilities I think corporations will have is to facilitate that people that are not so comfortable with new technologies are included in this too.
Yeah.
Because I've seen it before. I mean, I've seen before how, let's say, less prone people to adopt technology have, for example, printed out Excel sheets, mm-hmm. Or the secretary did. They then took the calculator, started making the calculations themselves, put on the writing it on there on paper, and then to the secretary again. This cannot happen this time.
No.
Mm. This availability of AI, of knowledge, is so important, such a transforming moment and such an accelerator of productivity. We cannot leave anyone behind.
Mm-hmm. So that's the responsibility of the corporations and the companies and get people. But still, you need, as a company, you need to sort of explore.
Yeah, you have to explore.
And I guess that's the phase we're in now. Everybody's trying to find out, how can I use this in my company? How can I use it in my job?
Yes.
Yeah.
And yesterday I had a meeting with a customer, and it was very interesting what they said. They said, what we are looking here into Salvador is, what are the activities that will be enhanced by AI, and what are the activities that will be transformed or disrupted by AI? And this, in my view, this is one of the first steps that any company should do. Where can we be disrupted? Where can we disrupt?
Mm.
Where is this transformative? Where is this organic evolution of what we already do?
Mm.
And then match this with the talent and that the company has and needs.
Mm.
I liked very much what Alexander Hanning in Boston, his concept of AI first. His philosophy is that in corporate innovation, at least, we will see that companies and startups will start with, in original we said blank arc, I don't know in English, but it's like with a
blank,
blank sheet, yeah. Or tabula rasa.
Yeah.
Start, how would we create our business model again from scratch? Mm. If we had to start again and we had ChatGPT and AutoGPT and DALL-E and DreamX and all this, there are a lot of AI tools that we can use. Mm. How could we start all this business from the beginning? Mm. How would it be different? And this, I think that mental exercise would be very healthy for any given company or any given startup.
Yeah, it will be frightening, I guess, as well, maybe.
I don't know. Yeah. It's a game changer. You know dropshipping?
Mm-hmm.
What it is?
Dropshipping.
Dropshipping. My own son is building a company on that.
Oh, okay.
What you do is that there is an infrastructure, a total infrastructure in the internet,
yeah,
where you can set up an e-commerce site, mm-hmm, and you can buy whatever from China, India, or whatever.
Yeah.
Actually, it could be the States, and drop it wherever in the world.
Yeah.
So, and then you are a kind of middleman,
yeah,
and you get your usually healthy margins,
yeah,
at least on gross margin. But one of the keys in that business is to follow the trends, follow what people are buying, follow what will be the next thing that people are buying, trying to see that the incipient trends and follow them,
yeah,
because you have to be ahead of the competition with AI and generative AI, where you can match very, very quickly, analyze and match very quickly what people are asking for in real time, or what people would like to see, how a product would people like to see transformed. You can ask. You can ask your customer base. You can have the answers. You can combine it with the internet, and then suddenly you know exactly what you should commercialize next time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you use it to get a competitive edge, sort
exactly
of.
And yeah. You don't need to. And one very important thing here too is that we have heard a lot about you have to clean the data.
Mm.
Maybe you don't, because these kind of models look into the data and see what the best matches are.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jens-Andreas Huseby had in Beck, an article about this in Minerva.
Yeah.
I encourage everyone to read it, because it mixes this with evolution, and it's really, really nice to read.
But you're touching upon thing, you know, because people say that you know, there the data there is okay, there's a lot of data, but it doesn't necessarily make sense, right? Because you can ask stuff and you really need to understand the domain and stuff to make sense of it, because ChatGPT can give you false messages or not the truth, and there's plenty of examples of that.
Yeah.
Versus if you have your own data,
yes,
you know, how can you use ChatGPT on your own data? Because then you know more about your own data, and it's only your data.
And that's exactly what I also think. I don't know if you have. Okay. I think that when a company or an organization. When a company starts using ChatGPT or generative AI and finally understands that the data that they have, their internal data, is what the others don't have.
Yeah.
And data that we have heard a lot of a long time now, that data is the new oil and the new gold or whatever. I mean, now it's more important than ever. Because that data will be the the sort of competitive advantage, if you can use them, mm-hmm. that the others won't have.
Yeah.
Because the others will have the same access to data that the ChatGPT can get from everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the prompting issue. How do you make sense of lots of data? Because you can do smart stuff, yeah. and then you have your own data. Let's just talk about your own data, because I've been testing this myself.
Yeah.
I'm responsible for our Net Promoter system, yes. right?
Yeah.
And what is that? Is asking for customer feedback. Mm. And you know, you can always get that in real time, and our sales and account managers, they use it to talk to the customer, mm. close the loop there and then, right? And that's fine.
Yeah.
But on the other side, for the corporate side of it, you have a massive amount of data.
Yes.
How do you make sense of it? And you know, I've been reading comments for years and say, how can I put it into buckets? How can I categorize stuff on that?
Yeah.
And you've had many machine learning tools that can look like you learn Norwegian. They can see a keyword, they can match it, but it doesn't really, it's good. It's better than I read it and I categorize it better.
Yes.
But with ChatGPT, when I upload data onto that, within the limits, of course, and then I start asking these prompting questions, then I get massive help from that, because they can do all this mining and give me common sense and prose, you know, the story that I can work on, and I know the data.
Mm. We can go on to use cases, for example, and here's where, since we are here at the SuperOffice, CRM. That is, you just have to go to YouTube. You see that people are focusing very much on CRM. Just because of what you said. I mean, this is the internal data of the company that if you actuate on them, you can have extremely good help in order to know what. I mean, it's just overpowering your CRM.
Yeah.
Because instead of going to this cell and then this cell and then this menu and this cell, suddenly you can ask, and AI tools can do that task for you.
Mm.
And looking into the data that you need,
mm.
and then you're a human and it's your own data, and then you can discard the answers that don't make sense. I mean, I think that there's a lot of questions about will AI and ChatGPT, for example, as an example, steal our jobs? Is it a job destructor? I think that it's a job accelerator, which is absolutely not the same.
Mm. No, it's the total opposite.
It's the total opposite. Yeah.
But it will be different jobs, and you will do part of your job, and then you'll get assistance. So you can look at ChatGPT as your assistant, basically.
Exactly. I guess that you've been working with AI also at SuperOffice and trying to put good services together for your customers too.
Yeah, we have and
for I would.
Yeah, sure. And this is on our lips and stuff, of course. And we introduced AI a couple of years ago.
Yes.
Because we can connect it to, for instance, if you have a service department support. And then you get massive amounts of requests in, and you can automatically categorize these to match it with your team.
Yes.
So we've had this for some time. And then we've had automatic translations and sentiment analysis to prepare your agents and stuff.
Yes.
But now with ChatGPT, we can raise that bar. Mm. But my experience is that me as an employee, I need to make responsibility.
Yeah.
I need to test it myself.
Yes.
Do it manual, do this and that. And I did this, you know, preparing a customer meeting.
Yeah,
I could go in and take out all the support tickets. I could take out all the meetings that we had. And I can say, last year, make sense of this. What is actually the topic here? Because it would take me 4 hours to read through everything. Mm-hmm. And in, you know, 30 I spent time collecting it and then putting it in, and I got a pretty good overview. Then I'm prepared. And as SuperOffice, as a company, we need to find the API use of this.
Yes.
But you as a user also need to take responsibility in my end to check it out.
And you know what, now thinking about what you're talking now, especially on CRM, but other areas too, think about this can be the catalysator for people that don't see the value of the extra effort of putting their data in the system.
Yeah.
When they see that the guy below, beside is marching into a meeting with a customer or with the leader team, leadership, and has all the papers ready in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
While you don't have the answer.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to make it up. So, I mean, it will be totally transformative, and in the realm of CRM, absolutely a game changer.
Yeah. That's a bloody good point, Salvador, because if you want value from a CRM system, you need to add stuff in there. If it's there, there's nothing. And this becomes true when you can utilize these values. I talked about our support, one of my support managers actually, about this, because I said this will transform your work as well. And very often in support, for instance, not everything is in the ticket, right? Sometimes you really need to pick up the phone or do a remote session, etc. And then you have speech.
Yeah.
And then that speech is not there. But then that means that, okay, maybe we should record that speech. Because if you record stuff, then you can use these things as well.
Yeah.
Right? So,
yeah. You know, I talking about use cases.
Yeah.
I saw a very cool use case, very, very basic, but very cool, which is that people that are not looking at YouTube videos, they are reading YouTube videos.
Yeah.
What they do is that they take the transcript of the subtitles.
Yeah.
And then they crunch it through ChatGPT and say, ChatGPT, can you do a resume of this?
Yeah.
And suddenly a long video for half an hour can be, and you can say 1, 2, 3 paragraphs.
Yes.
So that the old notion of semantic analysis and so on,
yeah.
It's the promise of that that has been evolving slowly.
Mm.
Suddenly you have it there.
Yes.
Again, a defining moment.
Yeah.
And a little bit about customer support and innovation.
Yeah.
How many times, Hans-Christian, have you heard about, but the customer support people, they are all the time talking with the customers. Yeah. They can give us inputs. And possibility of sale.
Mm.
Here now you can do it.
Mm.
Now you can record if GDPR of course allows it. But you can record. You can check what has been written.
Mm.
You can record and transcript what I've been saying.
Mm.
You can use it again as internal data for creating new products, for coming with new for inputs into brainstorm sessions.
Mm.
What is the market saying about our products?
Mm.
Yeah, they are asking why we don't have a button that releases an extra feature. I don't know, audio feature.
Yeah.
And there you have it.
Mm.
And again, it's a massive work accelerator or results accelerator, because if not, it's like the marketing department, engineering department, they discuss about creating new products they still don't have a clue about.
Mm-hmm.
No, and now it's marketing research here and marketing research there. And we will at least have a baseline. What will it do with all marketing research in the world, all the agencies that work on that? It will be a massive transformative moment for them too.
Yeah.
But again, if they specialize in that, they can also be massively better.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. And that's where, you know, some people talk about AI now has the capability to 10x the productivity.
Yeah.
Right. So you can really scale productivity, which is very different from before.
Yes.
And especially, you know, in the IT industry, it's almost impossible to hire people because they're not there. So it can also... You know, when you have a scarcity of something, then innovation will help you innovate on the right things.
Yeah.
And of course,
this
is an accelerator into that as well.
You know, you are pointing to an extremely important issue. Because I think that all this discussion about will AI steal our jobs is totally pointless.
Mm.
Totally pointless. We have to understand that we have been a demographic crunch. There are no people.
Mm.
And the people that are retiring.
Yeah.
It's frightening, really. We are come to a point where you don't have doctors. Yeah, you don't have IT people. Okay, I will wait a little bit for my next iPhone generation or the next generation of SuperOffice. Yeah. But we don't have doctors, mm-hmm. nurses. Yeah. I mean, and we need. We absolutely need job accelerators and productivity accelerators mm-hmm. in order to do much more with much less. Mm. The second point is the massive load of regulation that is upon us mm-hmm. from the EU and into the Nordic countries. And it's like it will be absolutely impossible to deal with that regulation without AI. Mm. And in this case, without these language models. Mm-hmm. Or AutoGPT and all this generation.
Yeah.
It will be totally impossible. I mean, this RPA, this robotic process, robotic process automation.
Yeah.
Which are trained to do one thing, two things, three things.
Yeah.
I mean, with this kind of new tools, AI tools, mm. this will be much more flexible. Mm. Again, an industry that will have to transform itself, adapt itself, mm. but the benefits for the rest of the society mm. will be enormous. Mm. And we need to understand that this is not AI is stealing our jobs. AI will be the technological base that sustain our civilization and our productivity and society in the long run.
Yeah.
We cannot do that because we don't have people.
No. But that's, you know, a big question. And, you know, put it down to, you know, you and I or companies and enterprises and, you know, everybody, because it needs to be, how can I use this? How can I, you know, get started with it?
Yeah.
And I can, you know, Facebook and Google and every those big companies, mm. big tech companies, mm. they're putting this into place. What about, you know, a normal company, they use applications and stuff. They cannot build everything themselves. They have to sort of, want to buy it out of the box? Yeah. Or
and that they will buy it out of the box.
Yeah.
Some big corporations will do their own stuff, like they do with IT programming. I think that the big IT players, they own the cloud. And of course, it will be an integrated part of what they are delivering. And they will integrate large language models, generative AI with all they have in order to tenfold productivity. Mm. What does it mean for the smaller companies? Well, the smaller companies will have to become very smart at using those tools. And using those tools with their own data, mm. because what the big giants with the IT, what the IT giants, cloud giants, won't have is, or ethically probably will not do is to steal your data.
No, because they don't have access
they,
to
they,
it.
They don't have access. They don't want that scandal.
No, no.
But what they can do, and this is what every new startup and every company thinking about innovation should think. What they will know is what kind of features are being used, mm. what kind of products are being most successful, mm. and then the first thing that they will do is to get all that amount of data, go to the next brown and brainstorming sessions. Okay, which will be the new feature and in our cloud service? Yeah. Oh, these are popular. Mm. Let's do it. Let's do it ourselves.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, yeah, but because it's already happening with the app stores, and this will be, I mean, it's impossible not that it doesn't.
No, this happens all the time. You know, SuperOffice has been around for more than 30 years, creating CRM,
yeah.
from going from on-premise, one-off solution for one customer. Now everything is in the cloud.
Yes.
In our ecosystem, we have an app store. Mm. So we have, for instance, digital signature, and we have four or five different vendors with that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, if you do digital signature, that's your domain.
Yeah.
You want to develop. You cannot only do signatures. You want to do more and more and more. So all they all vendors, they start one place and yes. they want to build out their ecosystem. And it all needs to work together some
sort. And for companies like SuperOffice, I think that the classical concept of orchestration will be quite important.
What do you mean by orchestration there? Like
what I mean is that
the customer use of the system or...
No, that your product, ecosystem. For example, SuperOffice will incorporate a number of partners, a number of applications, and then you are the one that puts together the right package to the right customer. Again, but with the use of AI, with use of good data or data. And you see that it's the way Amazon is doing things. Because I think that Amazon, when they saw ChatGPT and when they saw that Microsoft was including ChatGPT and into their products, and oh my God, the Copilot. I think that Amazon went into a kind of alarm, at least alarm modus. And what they have done, that they have partnered with a lot of companies within AI and put together a package. How well it will work from the go, I don't know.
No.
But I think that for and then where is Apple?
Where is Apple?
Siri, Alexa.
Yeah, really. And then you have Google, which panicked sort of, and they came up with Bard.
They had Bard, that was also a press amplified story because. But the small, as I saw the presentation, mistake that Bart did. There's mistakes that also ChatGPT does. It's only that because ChatGPT has been the first one.
Yeah.
You have to, and Bart wasn't also run. Then you should be totally flawless in order to. To magnify yourself, we are second but best. The famous second but best strategy. But I think that Google will come stronger than ever. They have this Dream Mix feature where they are having this text or language to video now, not image, video. And I think that is will very good for consumers and for companies that can aggregate and orchestrate this kind of services, because these giants, they are not stupid, they are very smart and they have the resources. And I feel if we go back to security, I feel much more secure if I know that my data or most of the data will be in the hands of 3, 4, 5 players, that they know who they are. And I know that if they have any kind of scandal, the shares will plummet.
Plummet, yeah.
And they are very, very conscious about this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a much, much, much better than having a kind of cowboy landscape where you don't know anything about where your data will end up, what they will do with your data, but in my world, I prefer that Google, Facebook, even Facebook, Microsoft, and these big ones, that I can rely on them, and that you, SuperOffice, and other smaller players can rely about the fact that the data that they are there are secure.
Yeah, definitely. That's most that security and reliability sort of is a feature that people value and take for granted today.
But exactly.
if it isn't there, the trust is gone, sort of.
Exactly, and these giants know that.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, time is flying, Salvador.
Okay.
You know, to wrap it up, we've been talking big things and use cases. But if you're a CEO or a CRO, marketing manager, you know, in a normal company, you know, what is your advice to them now? Is it like employees check it out, or how would you sort of What's the advice? How should they react to this this challenge and make it part of your business going forward?
Yeah, I think I will repeat two things that I've said, and then I will introduce a new factor.
Yeah.
First of all, okay, four. The first one, don't panic. Yeah. Don't panic. Yeah. Everyone is in the same situation. Yeah. Don't panic. Take a breath, and think.
Yeah.
I mean, your business is not going under tomorrow.
No.
Try to make a matrix. Which of your activities will be probably disrupted, and which activities will be enhanced? And you can have that, and you can say okay, where are the risks more important, on the most important on those two axes, when it will happen, and then you can see okay, it will be a low impact or a high impact.
Mm.
So two axes, will it be evolutionary, will enhanced, will be disruptive? Mm. Can we disrupt?
Mm.
And then will the impact be high? Will the impact be low?
Yeah. So it's a sort of a SWOT analysis there is an opportunity.
But simplify it. Yeah. Just do it very, very quickly now.
You can do it on a napkin together with your
management. Exactly.
Team.
Yeah. This is the one.
Yeah.
And the second one is, why don't you put together a group of smart people
in the company? Yeah.
And try to put something. Try to. Think about AI first.
Mm. Mm.
If we want to rebuild this company from the start, if there is some kind of competitor out there trying to come into our sphere, how will they do that?
Yeah.
They don't have legacy.
Mm.
They don't have legacy on products. Mm. They don't have legacy on infrastructure. Mm. They don't have a legacy in IT. They don't have legacy on people.
Yeah.
How would you do that
if
you want to compete with yourself?
Mm.
And the third element is a very good set of KPIs,
mm-hmm.
so that the leadership can monitor how the implementation of these new technologies is helping or not the company.
Because
this should be a productivity enhancer.
Yeah.
And of course, you will have some kind of transition phase.
Mm.
But if you see that things are not going the way they should, if you see that people are not, that your employees are not adopting these new technologies that they have available because they don't want, they are scared, they can't.
Mm.
I mean, you have to actuate on that.
Mm. But are these the normal KPIs or is new KPIs?
Think about your own KPIs.
Yeah.
What is your company? Yeah. What are the critical factors? We have talked about this kind of metrics.
Mm.
Where are the disruptive ones and the most with most impact activities in your company that we should focus on? Mm. Which will be the KPIs that we should follow?
Mm.
And which are the talents that we will need?
Yeah.
And how can we enhance the talents that we have in the middle layer? Because it was a very interesting article in Aftenposten.
Yeah.
From Camilla Deppers in Future, and saying that ChatGPT is influencing the our jobs in a new way, because usually it has been so that the people in the middle. When it comes to knowledge, they are the most squeezed usually. Mm. But here, when you introduce a new technology, here you have ChatGPT, AI. That what you do, what it does is that you take ordinary people and create super people out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, only that is so mind blowing that I think it's worth a try.
Yeah, because it's a game changer, and you need to get your people on board.
Yes,
definitely, yes. So that you're not. Because you can lose out. If you lose out in this,
You are so right. On one thing where, especially Norwegian, and I don't know if Nordic, but Norwegian leaders maybe are not that good, is that communicating.
Yeah.
Externally and internally.
Mm.
Communicate with your people.
Mm.
Tell them what is going to happen. Tell them why. Mm. Tell them that it's not because we want to lay you off. It's because we don't have, we cannot hire more people. Mm. Your jobs are probably safe, but we need your collaboration.
Yeah. It's quite fun because I was in a birthday with my family and my father-in-law.
Yes.
He's 85.
Okay.
And he was holding a speech for his girlfriend.
Girlfriend. Okay. Girlfriend. So it's still hope for all of us.
still hope. still hope. And she was 80.
Yeah.
And then of course he's he's an Apple evangelist. So he's got all gadgets you can imagine. Yeah. And now he's become interested in ChatGPT.
Yeah.
So we talked about and I actually asked him about, why don't you give me a story? What about her? Tell me about, and then see what it comes out. And then he had tried this himself.
Yeah.
So he had a very good speech where he sort of talked about all the stuff that he had put into it. Yeah. So you got the personal story.
Yeah.
And then we got the ChatGPT story.
Exactly.
So it was a very good, and he's 85, you know. Yeah. So there is hope for everybody to embrace this new technology.
Okay, right. And that is a wonderful story. I mean, if your father-in-law is doing that at 85, was it?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
If you're 50, try it.
Try it out. Don't be afraid. Try it out. Yeah, that would be my advice here to add on to your nice list there, Salvador. Don't be afraid. Just try it out and try talking to it and prompting with your data and get. To be a friend.
Yeah.
I had another colleague here yesterday. He's in the testing department.
Yeah.
Right? So he had been tasked to, how can you make this work? And he was very skeptical. Right? But he's a coder, testing coder and all kind of things. And he was using this. And in the end, he was so impressed about it. So I asked him, he presented it to the older developers or all the developers. And I said, well, is it your friend now or isn't it? Well, definitely. This can change my productivity,
exactly.
Of course. Yeah,
exactly.
I can let ChatGPT do all the boring work, and I can do the cool work. Yeah. Okay. I guess that wraps it up.
Yeah, I think so. So try it.
We will try. Well, thank you very much, Salvador. It was a pleasure having you on.
Thank you very much, Hans Christian. As always, a pleasure. And it was a delight.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That's it, guys and girls. That's what we had in the SuperOffice podcast today. I hope you liked it and learned something and became more interested in exploring ChatGPT and AI into your own business. I think Salvador had a pretty good process in the end there on how to get started. Maybe you have some colleagues who are super interested and keen to try out something. If you like this podcast, it would be great if you could recommend it to a friend or a colleague. That's one way of growing this community of the SuperOffice podcast. My name is Hans Gronslet. I'm your host. And if you have any suggestions for topics, if you have questions in general to the topics, or a guest, possible guest, send me an email to hc@superoffice.com. And I'm happy I got one tip during the last session. So we have some interesting topics lined up going forward. So thanks again for listening and have a great evening. Until next time, ciao, Hans here.